Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
We're busy with a series. Can I get your thingy? That, yeah. A series called Rain in Life, and we started it last week. And I really have been enjoying it, even though this is the second week. But we've handed out a devotional at the door for you. The devotional accompanies the series, and it goes through the message, digs in a bit deeper. But it's just an opportunity for you to reflect on what we're talking about, and daily then dig into the scripture and join me, I suppose, in digging in deeper. What does it mean to reign in life, etc. And I trust that it will be a blessing to you. We're not making it available online or anything like that, so you know, make sure you get a copy before you leave if you didn't get one. Take it and share it with someone once you're finished with it, just to help spread the message. But this morning, we're looking at basically reigning in life because we're dead. And so, reigning in life because we're dead. We're going to be talking about obviously reigning in life through this series. And I've been excited as I've been preparing, because I realize it's going to go more than just the 3 weeks that I put out for it. We're not just looking at it last week, this week, and next week, but we're going to probably go on for a couple of weeks longer, because there's a lot of topics which we can get into, like reigning over depression and reigning over sickness and reigning over whatever else, difficult times, reigning over low self-esteem. And so I'm really going to focus in on practical issues, because we'll announce it before we do it, so you're not just going to come and know it. You'll know what topic we're going to be dealing with, but specifically so that if someone's struggling with that you know, you can reach out to them by inviting them to come. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be great. But I think the first thing that you've got to know about reigning in life is that it's impossible to live the Christian life basically in and of yourself. It's virtually impossible to live in and of your own strength and your own ability, but we need to realize that God's made a way for us to be able to live this victorious Christian life. Okay, we can't do it without Him. So our key verse for the series is Romans chapter 5 verse 17. So if you want to turn there, you can turn there with me. Romans 5 verse 17, the King James Version says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." If you missed last week's message, I encourage you to pick up a CD for free at the resource table in the foyer. We kind of expounded on this verse and dug in a bit deeper, and we got out of it three basic points of how we can reign in life. The first one was, we reign in life through Jesus Christ, which means we reign in life through relationship with God. You can't do it without Jesus. Okay? The second point would be, you reign in life through receiving abundance of grace. There's more than enough grace for us, and we have to reign in life by receiving that grace from God. The last one is, we reign in life by receiving the gift of righteousness. We've got to know our identity in Christ, and we've got to know who we are, not in the flesh, but in Christ, who He's made us because of His finished work. And so, you know, we basically have to realize that through Christ's suffering, we have victory. When He died, we died. Theologically, they call it identification. Okay, so when He was crucified, I was crucified. When He died, I died. When He was whipped, I was whipped. When He was put in the tomb, I was put in the tomb. When He rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. When He was seated in heavenly places, I was seated in heavenly places. You've got to see yourself like that in order to experience victory. Okay, it's not just spiritual victory. A lot of people, I had one or two questions as well. Isn't it just a spiritual thing? You know, now for eternity, I can enjoy eternal life and all of that. It is that, but it's also physical victory. It's also physical reigning. It's to reign in this life now, not just in the one to come. And, you know, the simple answer to, isn't it just a spiritual thing? Because, I mean, I remember speaking to someone once, and they were arguing that healing is just a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. Well, then why did Jesus have a physical death as well? A physical death for just... A physical death for a physical reality as well. And so it impacts spiritually, but it also impacts physically. You can turn down the treble a bit there, I think. So, not enough bass. So for me, you know, living in victory means living in the fullness of what Jesus did for me. Okay? Because He didn't just die a physical death, and He didn't pay what He paid so that I could just live live a mediocre Christian life. We have access to living in victory and reigning in life. And, you know, a lot of us are living way below what God's given or provided for us to be able to enjoy. Okay, so that's what we're digging into. That's what we're looking at. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. The first thing that I want to kind of look at this morning in Ephesians chapter 6 is just the fact that we're in a war. Okay, so we are in a spiritual battle, and you've got to realize that you're in a battle if you want to win, right? If you don't realize you're in a battle, then it could be that you're deceived and you're heading for disaster. But you know, because we're in a battle, it means that it means that there's real warfare involved. So it's going to take some warfare from our part. But the problem is, a lot of believers they do warfare wrong. I don't know how else to put it. They don't understand the warfare situation, so they're doing it wrong, and as a result, the devil's whipping them. Okay? And, you know, if you're feeling whipped, if you're feeling like it's a lot of effort, this war that you're in, and it's taking a lot out of you, then you're probably doing it wrong. The warfare in the Christian life is effortless because the victory's already been won in Christ, and all we're doing is enforcing His victory. Okay? And so we're going to look at that a bit now. But if you feel like the devil's winning, then you're not fighting right. If you feel like sin is too powerful, then you're not fighting right. Actually, you started the fight completely wrong. Okay, so Ephesians 6, verse 2, it says, not 2, verse 12, sorry. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So what this is saying is that we're in a war, number one. And number two, there's more going on than what we see. So a lot of the time, we kind of think that what we see is all that there is, but there's more going on than what we realize. Okay? So that's the first thing I want you to realize. Then if you look up at verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And for me, what that's really just showing us is that reigning starts with being strong in the Lord. You've got to be strong in the Lord, not in and of yourself. It's not about your holiness. You can't be confident in the fact that you are living a holy life and that, as a result, the devil can't touch you. Okay? Why did the sickness, you know, why is the enemy attacking me with sickness and with all these things, financial problems and whatever? I'm living a holy life. If you've got a mentality like that, I'm giving, I'm doing the right thing. Why is the enemy attacking me? Then you're strong in what you're doing. You've got a performance mentality. But you've got to be strong in what God's done for you, not in what you're doing for Him. Okay? Focus on the finished work, not on what you're working at. Don't focus on your holiness, focus on His righteousness, which He's given you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay? So, if you realize that you know, we're in this battle, then you've got to realize, secondly, that we've got to be strong in the Lord and in what He's done for us in order to win this battle. Okay? Then, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just focusing a little bit on this battle that we're in. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 3 to 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." So, let me just pause there for a moment and say, I think it's an easy temptation for us, just because we live in the physical realm, as soon as things go wrong, we try and deal with the physical realm, physically. You know, we've caught ourselves a couple times, just even in leadership, where something's going wrong, like the Albania situation, there's visa issues or whatever, and it's like, okay, well, you want to deal with it practically, and you forget that, hey, this is also a spiritual battle, so let's take it to a spiritual reality first. Because the spirit comes first, and then the physical, if you think about it. God is a spirit, and He spoke the world, the physical, into existence. And so we've got to deal with things spiritually before we deal with them physically, really. Okay, so whatever battle you're facing, don't just try and deal with what you see, because that's really just a fruit of something else. If you deal with it spiritually first, you'll start to see the manifestation or the fruit physically, the victory physically. Okay, so that's verse 3. "We don't war after the flesh, for our weapons are not, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, Casting down imaginations. Where are your imaginations? In your head. Okay, it's your thought life. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Where's knowledge? It's in your head. It's talking about your mind, what you're thinking, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where are your thoughts? It's not in your actions, really. Your thoughts lead to actions, maybe. But your thoughts, this is basically just concluding that the battle is in the mind. Okay? The battlefield is in the mind. Your mind is the battlefield, and you need to win the battle in your mind before you can win the battle on the outside. Before you win any battle on the outside, you've got to win the battle in your mind first. Okay? So that should be a huge revelation for a lot of people. Okay? Because a lot of us are fighting fruit and things that are going on in our lives, but we're not fighting the battle in our minds first. You lose the battle in your mind, you're going to lose on the outside. You win the battle in your mind, and you're set up to be able to reign in life and be victorious. 1 John 4:4. Powerful scripture. Says that greater is he that's in us than anything that's in the world, than he that's in the world. So the greater one lives in us. Christ in us is the greater one, which means that whatever we're facing is not bigger than Jesus. It's not bigger than who's living inside of you. Okay? Which means that if we're convinced of Christ in us, if we're convinced that the greater one lives inside of us, then, you know, that's half the battle won already. But you have to ask yourself, are you convinced of the powerful one that's inside of you? If you're not, then you're not going to enjoy the victory probably. If you are convinced, then you're going to go into situations, and when circumstances come against you, you're going to tackle them head on and have this kind of die-hard attitude that I'm going to be victorious. Okay, so you've got to realize in this battle that the battle has obviously firstly been won, but secondly, you've got to realize that we deal with things differently than the world will deal with things. Okay? And the battle is in your mind, and it's effortless when you realize that it's just a matter of what do I believe? You know, what are you believing is determining whether you're reigning or not. It's not God's love for you which determines whether you reign or not. He loves you whether you're reigning or not. But realizing His love for you can cause you to become an overcomer. Can cause you to live in that destiny which is God for you to overcome and live in victory. But if you don't, He's not going to be upset with you, and He's not going to love you less. It just means you're not going to enjoy His love as much as you could. Okay, so you've got to realize it's a matter of what do I believe. You've got to realize how big Jesus is in you, how powerful He is if you want to reign in life, and that all-powerful Jesus lives in you. When you realize how big He is and how powerful He is and that He's in you, it sets you up for victory. It sets you up to be able to reign in life. So most believers, I believe, are losing the battle to reign simply because they think that the battle is primarily against the devil or primarily against sin. It's not. Okay? The true battle is in your mind, and it's what are you believing? Okay, so what do you believe about God is a good question to ask yourself. What do you believe about yourself? And what do you believe that God says? What do you believe that are you believing more what people say or what God says? Are you believing more what the enemy is telling you or what God says? A lot of people, they're going through a tough time, and they can tell you everything the devil's telling them, but they can't tell you anything that the Word says. They can't tell you anything that God says, but they can tell you what the devil's told them. You're talking to the wrong person. You should be talking to God more than you're talking to the enemy. A lot of Christians kind of get caught up and panicky that we're in this spiritual battle, and so they kind of revert it back to looking for a devil in every bush, and they're spending a lot of their prayer life in battle, in warfare, and you know what they're really doing is just empowering the devil, because your prayer life then and your spiritual life is more focused on the enemy than it is on Jesus. And we shouldn't be more focused on Jesus than we are on the enemy. That's a recipe for disaster. You know what I mean. Should be the other way around. Focusing more on Jesus than you are on the devil. That's a recipe for disaster to have it the other way around. It's testing you. You're awake. Good. The majority of you got it. The rest of you are still sleeping. You didn't come early enough to enjoy a good cup of coffee to prepare you to receive the message. Anyway.
You know, if you look at Colossians 2:15, I'm just going to read it, but you can write it down. Colossians 2, verse 15. It says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." So basically, you know, it's just saying the devil has been whipped. The devil's been defeated. He's been disarmed, which means the tools that he has, or whatever weapons he had against you, the Lord has taken them away. All he has now is deception. John 8:44. He's the father of lies. All he has now is deception. And what he's going to try and do is sell you a lie through intimidation and fear. And when you embrace that lie, you're empowering the devil in your life. If you want to reign in life, you've got to deal with the lies that he's trying to sell you. Deal with the fear that he's using to try and sell you the lie. Deal with the intimidation that he's using against you. And if you know the word, he can't sell you the lie. He can't use fear against you. And he can't use intimidation to try and get his job done in your life. If you know the word, you're halfway there to victory. If you don't know the word, you're gonna be like a pinball in a pinball machine. The enemy's gonna go like this, and you're gonna go like this, and then he's gonna go like this, and you're gonna go all over the place from pillar to post. He's gonna send you around, and you're gonna be freaked out, and you're probably gonna be in fear because he's intimidating you, and it's not gonna work because you're not grounded in the word. But when you know the truth, what did Jesus say? You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you know the truth, it can make you free. It can work in your life. When you don't know it, you can't really see it working in your life, can you? Because you're empowering the enemy in your life. Okay? So, you know, for a believer, we really, it's important that we know the word. Otherwise, if you don't know the word, I can stand up here and sell you anything. You know, it's true. I could stand up here and give you some dream, tell you about some dream I had. Nothing in the word, but tell you about how, you know, Jesus appeared to me and he told me that, you know, he's coming to judge the earth, and how he's going to this drought isn't going to, it's not going to end, it's just going to end in disaster. And Jesus said that it's his judgment on the Western Cape. And if you don't know the word, you're going to believe it. I've heard Christians speaking like that. And so it's because they don't know the word that Jesus bore our judgment for us. If they don't know that, then you're going to believe that this is judgment for sin. But sin has been judged in Jesus. And so there isn't a judgment for sin going on right now. Okay? So that's another topic. But we need to know the word in order to reign in life. Okay? And one of the keys that we need to know is Galatians 2:20. So you can turn there with me. Because this is really the major focus of what I'm wanting to speak about. So Galatians 2:20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The Amplified Version says, for you, Marilise, "I have been crucified with Christ, that is, in him I have shared his crucifixion." It says, I have shared his crucifixion. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, so I'm just going to pull out the major points I want you to get out of there. I have been crucified with Christ. Past tense. I have been crucified with Christ. Past tense. Then it says, that is, in him I've shared in his crucifixion. In Christ, you have shared in his crucifixion. If you go read through Ephesians chapter 1, and you just study on every time it says in Christ or in him, you'll see that the believer is in Christ. You'll see that you as a believer are in him. You'll see that, you know, that, and because you're in him, there's so many things that are true of you that many of us don't realize. Okay? And one of the things is that we're dead. Dead to what is a good question, and we'll get there, but we're dead. Okay? The life that we're living isn't in and of our own strength and effort. It's Christ living in me and Christ living through me. That's the key to victorious Christian living. Christ in me and Christ through me. If you're trying to live for God, you're going to fail. It's not about living for God. It's about Him living in you and Him living through you. That's the Christian life. It's not about trying to live for Jesus. It's about Him living in you and Him living through you. Okay? If you realize that the Christian life is impossible to live, then you'll realize that you need Jesus to live in you and through you. Okay? When it's us living for Him, you know what happens? The focus is on you. When it's you living for Him, it's about you. When it's you living for Him, the focus is on you. What you're doing, what you should do, what you're not doing, all of that. It's all about it's all about focusing on you. But when the focus is on Christ in me and Christ empowering me and living through me, then the focus is on Him and all glory to Him. When you're living for God, it's about you trying to clean up your act and be acceptable to Him and all of these things. When it's about focusing on Christ in you, then it's about Him having made you right. Him doing the work, His perfect work, which is just manifesting in your life and producing good fruit. Okay? The secret to victorious Christian living is not about us living for Jesus, but Jesus living in us and Jesus living through us. When we fail to understand this, it results in legalism. When we fail to understand this, it results in a performance mentality. Because the law will focus, legalism focuses on the outward man. The law focuses and legalism focuses on cleaning up your act, which is really just cleaning up the flesh. Now, what did we see in Galatians 2:20? That you're dead, right? So, one of the truths that we can pull out of this is that when we're in legalism and trying to clean up our act, it's like taking perfume and spraying it on a corpse. It's still dead, but there's no life in it, really, right? There's no life. It might smell nice for a while, but that perfume's not going to last long, and then you're going to smell a rotting corpse. I hope I'm not putting you off your Sunday lunch or your breakfast that you maybe should have had and didn't have. The point is that, you know, the Christian life isn't about trying to clean up the flesh. It's not the gospel isn't a message of, here you go, now try harder. You got a second chance. The Christian message is what? You're dead, you're hopeless, now just trust Jesus, receive Him, and let Him live through you. Okay? It's not about trying to clean up your act, it's about Him coming and cleaning you up. Okay? Him having made you right. So grace focuses on the inner man. Grace focuses on telling you what Christ has done for you, not what you have to do for Him. Those who focus on what you have, if you're focusing on what you have to do for God, then you're under the law. If you're focused on what Christ has done for you, then you're under grace, and it's the start of trying. It's the pathway to experiencing victory. It's the pathway to reigning in life. So what I'm trying to show you is that focusing on the fact that it's Christ in me and through me will enable you to reign in life. If you're not focused on what Christ has done for you, you're never going to reign in life. If you're focused on what you're trying to do for Him, you will never reign. If you focus on what He's done for you, then you can reign. But as long as you're focused on your actions, you're never going to reign. Amen? So, Galatians 2:20, in the Amplified Version, says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's past tense. I have been crucified with Christ. A lot of Christians are still trying to die when it's already done. You know, this whole dying to self? You're already dead. You just got to realize what's taken place, accept it as truth, and then it becomes your reality. You're already dead. It's no longer you who live, it's Christ who lives in you. It says in brackets there in Amplified, in Him I have shed, past tense, I have shed. In Him, in Christ, I have shed His crucifixion. It's past tense. When He died, I died. Okay? When He died, I died. I'm not trying to die. I'm dead. All we need to do is recognize what's already taken place and you start to experience the victory of that. Amen? So what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? It means, number one, that you've been judged with Christ. When He was judged, you were judged, which means your sin has been judged. It means that you have been condemned and punished with Christ, which means you're not going to be condemned or punished again. When He was condemned, when He was punished, you were punished. So you're accepting that because you're in Him, When he was punished, you were punished, and you're not going to be punished again for your sin because it's been dealt with. It's been forgiven. That's good news. Okay, then the last thing is that which I would pull out of that is that your old man, the sinful nature, was nailed to the cross and now it's gone. It's dealt with. And I go into a bit of depth on that in the devotional, and so you'll get more out of it there. But the basics is as long as you think that you've got a sinful nature, you're never going to live in victory. If you think you've got a sinful nature, you're not going to live in victory. You're not going to reign in life. Most Christians have this mentality of it's me, my spirit man versus the sinful man. And there's this constant battle going on inside of you. You know, we kind of think that sin is powerful and it's got the upper hand in us. But many scriptures show us, especially Romans 6, 7, and 8, that the sinful nature is dead. It was nailed to the cross and it's been defeated. And as long as you don't know that, it cannot benefit you. Okay? Look with me at Romans chapter 6. Let's look at over there. There's many verses in Romans chapter 6. We're not going to get into all of them. But Romans chapter 6 really deals with this quite nicely. Verse 1, I've got a chair. From verse 1 it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" So this question should always come up when you're preaching the gospel, right? Hey, because of God's grace, can I just go and live in sin? What's the answer? Obviously, no. Okay, no, you shouldn't go and live in sin. Can you go and live in sin? Yes. Should you? No. Okay, what I mean is, because you're forgiven, if you go and sin, are you still going to be forgiven? The answer is yes. That's grace. Should you go and live in sin? No. Why? Because it's stupid. It's going to cause destruction. It's going to cause problems in your life. God's not going to cause those problems in your life because you're living in sin. But sin will result in problems. You go murder someone, you're going to have some problems on your hands. You go steal from someone, you're going to have problems. You go lie, you're going to end up with a bit of problems. It'll just get deeper and deeper. You go sleep around, you're going to have some problems. Will God still love you? Yes. Has God forgiven you? Yes. Will He hold it against you? Never. But it's going to give you some problems. The old saying is true. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll make you stay longer than you want to stay. And it'll make you pay more than you want to pay. So sin will cause problems in your life, but God loves you. He's still going to bless you because His blessing in your life isn't dependent on your performance. His acceptance of you isn't based on your performance. I mean, the scripture, what is it? It says Hebrews 10, verse 17. Hebrews 10, verse 17. I'll read the Living Bible. It says, "I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds." It means what it says, and it says what it means. God's forgiven you, and He's not going to unforgive you. Okay? He's not holding anything against you. Hebrews 8, verse 12. Hebrews 8, verse 12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I'll remember no more." God's forgiven us. We're living in grace, okay? But should we go live in sin because of this grace? The answer in verse 2 of Romans chapter 6, Paul says, "God forbid." He says, definitely no. Don't go live in sin just because there's grace, okay? And I've given you the reasons why. The next verse, verse 3. Or verse 2, let's read it. "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live in any longer therein?" It's saying that you're dead to sin. When it's talking about sin, we often think of sinful actions, but it's not talking about the actions of sin. It's talking about the nature of sin. If you go look it up in the Greek, it makes more sense, okay? But what it's saying is that it's using the word sin noun, not sin as in an action, but sin as in a noun, a name. It's talking about the sinful nature. And throughout Romans chapter 6, you'll see sin is dead and you're dead to sin. Look at the next verse with me. "Know ye not," verse 3, "know ye not that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" Verse 5, "For if we are planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." just says it again and again and again in many different ways, that your sinful nature is basically dead because you're dead now. Because, you know, you can't tempt a corpse, right? When you realize that the sinful nature is dead, you can't be tempted with anything anymore. But it says that the key word there is in verse 6. It says, knowing this. That's the two key words there. You have to know this in order to experience this resurrection life of Christ. You've got to know that your old man is dead. If you don't know it, if you think you're still fighting against him, you're still going to have a battle against sin. And it's still going to feel powerful because you believe it's powerful, because you believe it's still there. But as soon as you realize it's been defeated, it's been dealt with, it's finished, there's no sinful nature inside of you fighting against your righteous nature. You just have a righteous nature. What does it mean for you? It means you're set up to reign in life. Okay? Yes, you can still sin. You can still make mistakes. But in your nature, in your core, you're not a sinner. And this is key to reigning in life. It's knowing this, that the old man is gone. If you don't know this, then you're not going to enjoy it. Okay? You've got to stop seeing yourself as a sinner saved by grace and see yourself as a sinner who was saved by grace and now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for you so that you could be made the righteousness of God in him. It's saying that you're righteous. 100% righteous, right before God. 100% right before God, 100% of the time, because of Jesus. That's why we reign in life through Christ, not through our own strength, not through our own effort, not through our own holiness. We can only reign in Christ, reign in life through and in and by Christ. Because it's His righteousness through which we reign, not our own rightness. Okay? Amen. Jump down with me in in chapter 6 to verse 11. My last verse there, Romans 6:11, King James Version says, "Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. You need to reckon yourself to be dead to sin in order for you to be able to reign in life. If you don't reckon yourself to be dead to sin, you're probably reckoning sin to be alive in you. Which means you're constantly going to be fighting sin. The Christian life is not about fighting sin and trying to get victory over sin. The battle against sin has been dealt with. You're dead to sin. There's many more things in the Christian life to live for than fighting sin. I mean, rather put your attention and focus into telling other people this awesome news that we've got. Most Christians are too self-centered in that we're trying to battle our own battles against sin and temptation and the flesh. When though Jesus has already dealt with all of that, so that we can focus on other things, like enjoying relationship with Him, enjoying friendship with Him, and then telling other people that they can enjoy this too. There's many bigger things to live for than trying to fight sin. And if you're fighting sin, if you're struggling with something, it's not there's no condemnation. You know, we want to walk with you and help you to get victory over that so that you can focus on other things. There's bigger fish to fry. So, Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. The word reckon there is giving us the impression that we should, it means take inventory of. So it's not saying create something, it's saying look at what already is. Reckon means that there's something already there. Reckon yourself dead to sin, which means you are already dead to sin. You're not trying to die to sin, you're already dead to sin. If sin feels powerful in your life, it's because you don't realize that it has no power in your life. You think it does. The battle against sin has been won, and you need to realize that it's already done. Okay? Romans 6:11 in the Amplified, it says, consider yourself to be dead to sin and your relationship to it broken. That's the problem. A lot of Christians still have a relationship that they feel like there's still this connection to sin. The connection, the relationship has been broken. The next part of that verse in the Amplified is beautiful. It says, so now you've got to consider yourself alive to God in unbroken fellowship with Him in Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we have unbroken fellowship with Him, with God. Unbroken fellowship with Him, which means there's never a disconnect. If you want to reign in life, you've got to realize that there's never a disconnect between you and God. If you feel like there's a disconnect sometimes, then you don't know what the Word says about you, and you don't know what the true reality of the situation. You don't know that Jesus has paid for your sin in full, and that sin can never bring a disconnect between God and you. That's a beautiful reality. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, "He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him." 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. One spirit with Him. If you're joined to the Lord, which means you're born again, it means that you're one spirit with God. Okay? One, the definition of one there is one to the exclusion of any other. Doesn't mean that there's two kind of pieces of paper stuck together. Doesn't mean that you've taken two pages, separate pages, and glued them together to try and make one. It's basically saying that the two have become one so that you cannot tell them apart. Two coins melted down together and stuck together. More than two pieces of paper stuck together. It's saying that it's one to the exclusion of any other. So you need to be convinced that sin has been dealt with if you want to reign in life, and that you have an uninterrupted union with Christ, because with God, in relationship with God, because of what Jesus has done for you. When you realize that you have uninterrupted union with God, it just sorts everything out. Because what does that mean? It means that when you're full and when you're at your lowest point, you can have boldness and confidence to go to God and have relationship with Him. Obtain grace and find mercy in your time of need. Amen? That shows that we've got an awesome God, a good God. So, when you became a Christian, in that moment that you became a Christian, you identified with Christ's death and His resurrection, and you basically were saying that my old nature is now dead. Because it is dead. Okay, your sinful nature that you inherited from Adam was nailed to the cross, and you're saying that you're no longer driven by the sinful nature. You've got this born again righteous nature, which now is your default. Hebrews 10:10 says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all." So, the moment you were born again, you were made holy and made righteous. You no longer have a sinful nature. You have a righteous nature. And your nature is now fully righteous. You're not becoming more righteous. Your actions might be increasing in righteousness, but at your core, who you are is right with God, completely holy. You might not act like it sometimes. How many people do you know that act like animals? Are they animals? No, they act like animals. A Christian who doesn't act like a Christian is still righteous and truly holy. They're just not acting like it. But their identity is truly righteous and truly holy. They just don't act like it. Just because you act like something else doesn't mean you're that. Okay? Actions don't determine identity. Identity determines actions. So, sin no longer has control over you. Okay? You are dead to sin. Therefore, you can reign in life. You can reign over sin. You can reign over the flesh. You can reign over temptation. And you can live in victory because you're dead to sin. Amen. Isn't that good news? As you go through the devotional this week, it's going to expound on this. It's going to dig deeper. And I trust that it's going to be a blessing to you. Father, I want to thank you that we can reign in life because you've already set us up for victory. In and through you, because of our relationship with you, Jesus, we can live in victory. We can reign over temptation. We don't have to give in to sin. It's not powerful in our lives anymore because you've dealt with that. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you've set us up to reign and rule in life. And as we enjoy a time of communion now, I thank you that we can just celebrate the victory that we have because of our friendship, our relationship with you. We thank you that it's already been done in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources, or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.